This is a special night for us to get to hear from one another about what God has been saying through the fast. But before we do that, there's some really great news. Greg and Bethany are getting married tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. So it looks like we have a lot of family here with us tonight. Welcome, you guys. Yeah, let's welcome them. I was about to like try to do kind of like a Midwestern accent, but I'm not. I am not good at it. I just too Southern. I've been down here too long, so. But we want to have them up. We're going to pray for them, and so I wanted to ask some guys from the home group. So Eric, John, Brent, is Brent here too? Would you guys come up and we're going to pray for Greg and Bethany. If you all want to come up, we're going to. Right. If you want to come down and lay hands on them, if you know them, you're friends with them, I want to invite you to come down. But we just want to pray for them that God would bless their day tomorrow and bless their covenant that they're entering into. So you guys come right over here. And family, we want to welcome you and ask you. You can come on down too. Yeah, we can lay hands. But this is awesome. Greg has been such a faithful brother in this church. Has blessed so many people over the years, and we're all getting to know, everyone loves Bethany, and you're getting to know you, and we're excited about God's destiny on your lives together, so we want to pray blessing over you. So, Brent, you want to get us started, and if you have a blessing in your heart, just come grab the microphone.
Father, we thank you for sending us Greg. God, I thank you for his position in the body and what he's meant to everybody, every move that he's been at, every tree he's planted, every house he's set and pet he's kept. Lord, he's done your work. You said, when you do this to the least of these, you've done it to me. So God, I thank you for the blessing he's been. God, I thank you for the blessing of Bethany in his life, God. I thank you for what you're going to do, God, as they yoke together, that there'll be a mighty wagon pulling people to your kingdom, God. God, so we thank you for this union, and we pray your blessings all over it and your anointing on it. God, I pray for peace and prosperity and wealth and good health on this whole union, God, and that your spirit would be all over them and that they would see you completely the whole time they're together and pull towards you everybody in their path.
Well, Father, we do just thank you for Greg and just the servant's heart that he has. God, I just pray that he carries that into this marriage, God. God, just pray that he will lay his life down daily for Bethany, and God, just build their house, just establish it on your word. Thank you, God.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lord, we just want to praise you and honor you and say you're such a good creator. The way that you have created us is beyond our wisdom and our understanding. And you have so many good things in store for us. And so we just pray your blessing, your anointing, your grace on this marriage, God. I pray that it would be their love for one another would be founded in the rock, Jesus Christ, and it would be unshakable, Father God. We pray into the future that you would make them fruitful, Father God, and just bless their lives, Lord God. Bless them with good friends and family to surround them, to encourage them, Lord God. And God, I pray for tomorrow. I pray that it would be a day of celebration. And just peace, no anxiety, but just a time to glory in who you are and your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right. Yeah. Wow, that's going to be fun tomorrow. I can already tell. Praise God. Well, so we are going to take some time to share some of the words that God gave us over the fast. And I think I said this in my email after the fast time, but God is not trying to hide himself from us. Like, that's one thing we can say about our experience of God in this church, is that when we seek him, when we draw close to him, he speaks. And he speaks his will and his vision and his destiny on this church. And so that's been just abundantly clear again this year as we fasted and sought the Lord. He came and he spoke with us. And you guys have been talking about this in your home groups and maybe giving some of your personal encouragements to one another. But it's important for us as a church to come together and kind of hear what God is saying to us. So that's what we're going to do tonight. I've kind of compiled some of the words that God has given us, and so we're going to be inviting people up here to share. So, praise the Lord. Joy Shear is who's in our home group. Joy, would you come down, and she's going to kick us off. We're going to have slides up here, too, with some of the key verses. Nick, would you kick that off? Go ahead and kick that off, and we will, you can reference those, and we'll also send them out over email. So, amen. You all ready for this? Amen. All right. You good? Share with us? All right.
So, when I was praying for our church during the fast, I had a sense the Lord was saying, he is with us, and he has not left us or forgotten us. And then I was thinking about Deuteronomy 31, 7 through 8. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Joy. Kurt Iden. Man, it's hard to replicate Kurt Iden. But Josh is going to try. You ready? No, I shouldn't even put that on you. Kurt is not here. They're at a baptism with some friends, but he had just a, you know, a passionate Kurt encouragement for us. So I didn't want to miss it. I didn't want you to miss out on it. So Josh is going to read what Kurt wrote.
Well, I really appreciate being around Kurt and Debbie. But so this is his. This is an encouragement that Kurt wanted to share with all of us. God the Father has blessed us. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Wow. How most amazing is that? So we need to be... Oh, lost my spot. So we need to be blessing. We need to be a blessing back to him. Paul exhorted us to be followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. We love him because he first loved us. When we are rightly aligned with God, we will be full of love for people. But how do we love him? How do we be a blessing back to him? By loving the people around us, meeting the needs around us, specifically being ministers of reconciliation, speaking the truth in love, pray for restoration of the church, forgive, pray for unity, and stand until we are unified. If we do that, we will be blown away by the blessing that God will send. Amen. And if our ugly selves pop up, let's go to the cross and let God crucify us so that we can be Jesus and the love of God to the people around us. And fight against the enemy too. The devil blinds us from the love of the Father. If we're not seeing and receiving the love of the Father, we will not be resting in his love. And it will cripple our effectiveness of loving God back and loving the people around us. Always believe the gospel, the good news that God our Father loves us. And don't let the devil deceive us.
Thanks, man. Kurt also included two verses from Ephesians, and we studied Ephesians in the first half of the year. One of the great teachings we had was from Ephesians 1:3 about all the blessings that God has poured out on us It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Then he goes into that list of all the blessings. And then Kurt also wanted us to think about Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. "Therefore, being imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Amen. Janet also had an encouragement that she shared, so I was going to invite you up to.
So, as always, I read through Mark several times over the fast, and just, I don't know what God was doing in my heart. I cried a lot of times reading through Mark, and was so excited to finish it out, because like I hadn't read the story before, but this is kind of what he put on my heart. Jesus possesses all authority. Jesus heals what we thought unhealable, calms the sea which we believed untamable, orders demons out and they obey when no human effort could do the tiniest thing against their whims. Jesus also stepped away to rest and be quiet. He didn't change the course of his ministry because the throngs were seeking him, yet he also changed his stroll on the water to meet his disciples when they spotted him. He possesses complete spiritual discernment and was and is solely concerned with his and the Father's mission to spread the gospel, restore, and invite us to be mission workers with him. In Nazareth, Jesus' own home, they thought he was out of his mind. But this did not sway his mission. He was unable to perform any great work there because of their unbelief. The disciples did believe and were given the spirit of authority to do such works as Jesus, and they were excited and wondered at this. He wants us to be a part of all that he does. He wants to impart some of his authority, spiritual discernment, and clarity of mission. He invites us to believe and implore him that he might do great works, not because he lacks the authority or the power to do anything, but he desires us to join him. He gave and gives today the Holy Spirit to be the helper who imparts spiritual discernment, authority not of us, and so many other gifts. So let us not be like the people of Nazarene, but let us believe and cry the cry, "I believe, help my unbelief," and be ready to go out as the disciples.
Thanks, Janet. Great, praise the Lord. Bill John called me today, and he has some thoughts that he wanted to share with us as well. Because somebody told me to call you, I guess. Anyway.
I just want to make sure accurate.
Three scriptures I'll read first. Philippians 2:12b and 13 says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God," this is the important part, "for it is God which works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity." This is 26a, I didn't read the whole verse. 2 Corinthians 12:9 said, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my weaknesses or infirmities, that the power of Christ would rest upon me." What I think the word is that the Holy Spirit is part of our lives and has been sent that he would walk out with us and help us in our times of weakness. I just have a few examples. If you're struggling on a treadmill of sin, and by that I mean sin, then remorse, then repentance, then resolve to do better, and then sin again, and remorse, and repentance. The word of the Lord for you is, the Spirit helpeth our weaknesses. Are there people you have trouble loving or forgiving? God says to you, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Let's see if I can turn the page here. Is walking close to God in prayer, worship, or in the Bible, a mystery to you, or do you see like you see other people do? God says to you that he is at work in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. I could go on, but God is saying that we need the power of the Holy Spirit day by day, moment by moment, as a reality in our lives. We need to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we need to find the Holy Spirit as a constant force bringing us to true sanctification.
Amen. Thanks, Bill. There were a number of other, we're not including all the words that were written or turned in, but there were a number of other people who mentioned the Holy Spirit and the need for our body to press in to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thomas Coburn also had a word he wanted to share with us.
So this is from Hosea 6, 1 through 3, and Hosea 10, 12. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn, and he will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, and break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. So if you were at the Friday night prayer during the fast, you probably remember that Kelly Hahn shared those verses. What you probably don't know is that I was getting ready to walk up and share the exact same verses right as he was sharing them. The other thing you might not know is that we both came prepared to share a different verse from Zephaniah, actually the verse that that Steve shared with us and read this morning, which I just would confirm is also from the fast and something that we need to receive as a body. But we were both impressed during the time of prayer that the scripture in Hosea was where we needed to share with the body. Hosea is a book of broken relationships that God promises to restore. Israel had broken covenant with God, and God wanted them to know the extent of the relational problems, but he also promised to restore them. As a body, we've committed to a vision of a relational church that's built upon honesty and vulnerability, that extends grace and forgiveness as we live our lives yoked together with God's love as the center of all of our activities. If you haven't seen that diagram of vision, commitment to that vision, honesty and vulnerability, grace, forgiveness, love, all tied in with love, and that's what builds trust. Ask somebody who's been here for 5 or 6 or 10 years and make sure they go over that with you. It's really, it's who we are as a body. So I believe God has a word primarily for our folks who've been walking together for 20 years or more. So I'm a doctor, one of the toughest things to take care of sometimes is wounds that have been going on for a long time. If you ever see a wound that hasn't healed, you know that the diseased flesh will continue to spread, and that will lead to worsening symptoms, sometimes even affecting the rest of the body. You see people go into sepsis, even to the point of sometimes dying in extreme cases. You got to remove the diseased and dying area to get the healthy flesh to grow back strong so the body can begin to heal and rebuild itself. It's painful, and sometimes it's a long process, but when it is done, there's complete restoration of health to the whole body. I believe God's identified some areas of disease and rotting in our body. This is a time to allow God to tear down and build up as he sees fit. He wants to heal the relational wounds. He wants to identify areas of resentment or unforgiveness that we have harbored so we can repent. He wants to break down relational walls that we have built up to try to protect ourselves, where those walls have led to division and separation. And he wants to reveal our areas of pride that have led to relational separation. And he wants to see these covenantal relationships restored. God lovingly wants to tear away what doesn't resemble him or his family. He's called us to repent, and we need to let him do this work. It's going to hurt. These are raw moments. God was willing to tear down Israel and let 10 tribes disappear. But he also restored 2 tribes, and Jesus came from one of those tribes. He's willing to, and we're seeing even right now, denominations that John Wesley founded being torn apart. He's willing to do whatever it takes to accomplish his will. He is about building his kingdom. God is about his kingdom, not individual families or churches or peoples. But he does want to use people, and he wants to rebuild. He's a loving and a good father. I believe this is an important and expectant moment for us as a church, so especially for those of us with gray hairs who've been with each other for so many years. God wants to make some things right. He wants to bring restoration. He wants to bring healing. It's deep, and it's going to be painful work, but it's going to result in health and new life. And I implore you, do not resist the hand of God who's willing to lovingly prune and do the work that he's got.
Amen, Thomas. Thank you. Yeah, every year when we come to the fast, God wants to do things in us. He wants to shape us into his people. And so I want to encourage you not to resist those ideas of repentance and turning to God and healing relationship. Again, this idea that Thomas has shared was echoed by some of the other words that came through. So next we also have Kenton. And Kenton, Suzanne, you both want to come up? Suzanne has something she wants to share as well.
I did not type anything up, so apologies. And I also missed the memo about like sending a scripture. So the thing that was most on my heart during the fast was restoration. And I really felt like the Lord helped me see specific people in situations that he wanted to bring restoration to. And so I started praying for those, you know, specific people and situations. But it's like, as I prayed for them and as I've, you know, heard words for them and so on, God has shown me more and more people and situations that he also wants to restore. So it just struck me that this really is a word for the body. So, you know, I think God wants to bring restoration, and I think he wants to do that in relationships. Like Thomas was saying, he wants to bring reconciliation to broken relationships. And I think that could look like many things. And I think there's many, many people who maybe are in the midst of some kind of broken relationship that God wants to bring restoration to. He wants to bring healing and like restore physical illness. In our home group, we pray regularly for Shane, whose arm is like ridiculously broken. And we continue to pray, for full healing and restoration. And I think what I was struck by, you know, as we were praying, this is related, I think, to Dan Eaton's teaching from Mark on the power of the King, is that we should not grow weary in praying for the things that are really hard for God to do, or that seem hard for God to do. And so even situations like Shane's arm that we've been praying for years, I think God wants us to not stop praying for those kinds of things and believe that he can bring healing in those things. I also was struck by, I think there's a lot of people in our church that are just like worn down or sad. And I think God really wants to meet them in the midst of their stuff, whatever that is, that's, you know, bringing about that sadness or that kind of wearing down. And he wants to bring refreshing and restoration to them. So I think those were the three kind of main kind of groups of people that God really placed on my heart. And I will just share the scripture that was on my heart while we were praying in the fast. It's out of Isaiah 58, and I'll read just verses 11 and 12. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in.
Mine is not from the fast this year, but I guess it's more of a reflection on this past year. And I just felt like I knew I needed to testify to the goodness of God in our church this past year in the way that he really responded to a need for teaching through the guys that responded to that call. I've just been really, I guess, just aware of God's goodness through these men who have been speaking the word of truth. And I don't want to diminish their skill, but they work full time, they have young kids, and I don't think they were really positioned to fill this role of teacher. There was a need and they responded to it. So they weren't necessarily trained in teaching or whatever, but they responded to that call, and God, I think, has just really blessed our church through the way that they applied themselves to the word. And each sermon has been so poignant, and so each one I could be like, that is speaking to hearts and needs in our church. Every sermon, and just the thread that's been weaved through each of their sermons, I'm like, how did they do that? And I know that they didn't do it, but it was God being so gracious and so loving to us to speak through them. And the reflection is that I think a lot, the call was that we needed to return to our first love. And I could just say, like, from each of their sermons, it was an invitation to return to our first love. And I'm amazed at God's goodness and how he spoke through you guys. And the verse that came to mind through this was, a man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his footsteps. And so these guys responded. They had a plan. They stepped out, and God really established them and is establishing us through the way that they are applying themselves to the word and coming each week and sharing the word with us. I just wanted to testify and say how good God has been to us when we needed it. So,
great. Juliana? Hey, a teaching guy, just a side note, didn't it kind of feel like she was like saying that we were kind of like a bunch of bumbling disciples? But somehow Jesus was leading them through. Thanks, Susanna.
All right. One of my takeaways from the fast was just a simple reminder from the women's retreat this past year. We had a time of sharing testimonies that were really powerful, and then also a time of praying for lost family members or people who have walked away from God. And I just wanted to pray toward hearing more testimonies of people either returning to the Lord or meeting him for the first time, or just people being brought out of difficult circumstances or just ways they haven't met God yet. During the fast, it was just a reminder to pray toward testimonies and seeing people set free.
Awesome. Amen. Yeah. Chris, you want to come on down? That's been one of our most powerful prayer topics as we come together to pray as a church has been when we're praying for the prodigal sons and daughters. So, Chris, thank you. I didn't feel like it'd be right to go the night without Chris sharing with us. I love when Chris shares. You got something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's got it.
Well, I believe God was showing me that I've heard the words restoration and unity several times in what people have shared. And I believe God is calling us as a church to be an integral part of that. I believe God wants LCF to deliberately and intentionally pray for unity in the general church in Lexington and in Kentucky. I believe he is calling LCF to engage in spiritual warfare against the dividing spirits and bring his church to the unity he wants. And Hang on. He wants to bring the unity he wants, and that will be the witness to the world he created it to be in John 17. I believe the key to this word is John 17, where he said that his idea was for his church, the love that we have for each other would be a witness to the world. And at this point, unfortunately, when the world looks at the church, all they see is division and bitterness. And I believe it's a spiritual battle. And I believe God is calling LCF to be a part of the restoration for that through prayer. He wants us to spend time in prayer and do warfare against the dividing spirits that are destroying his church.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, that starts here with us, that we could see God's unity among us. And then we've always been a church that prays for the churches across this city. So Elder Tom is not here tonight. He's not feeling well. He had something he wanted to share with you. And so Jonathan, who is in his home group, is going to read it for us. Now, you'll have to jump one slide to get to that.
I thought that was a height joke for a second when you said jump. All right, subbing in for Tom here. As I prayed for the church during and after the fast, God brought Ephesians 2:19 through 22 and 1 Peter 2:4-7 to my mind. And I will read those. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And then the other verse, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves are like living stones are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So Tom says, I believe God was reassuring me that he is building his church, his house, with Jesus as the cornerstone, and that we need to be looking to and resting in him as the church walks through this time. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, man. Dan, you want to come on up? I also had some thoughts. It was a great fast time for me and my family, especially with the twins. They were kind of engaging in the fast this year as well. But I think for me, the primary theme that stuck out was Jesus as king. And that he is a king like no other king. And he came in power with authority into the earth to vanquish the enemies of his kingdom. And all of that, all of his work in the earth stems from his great desire and love for his people. And he is a king that loves like no other king loves. And I believe that God is drawing us into an understanding of Jesus as king. And to do that, we need to receive the love of the king. And I believe that as we receive the love of the king, deep in our hearts, he's going to unlock a power in this church. And I have a great confidence about this year. I believe that God is declaring his kingship and his gospel over us in this city in a powerful way, that we would go out in the power of his love to see his kingdom established. All right? Amen. Oh, did you, Patricia, you have something you want to add?
Thank you. It wasn't during the fast that I got this, but as he was sharing about building, just, I don't know if vision is the right word or not, but I had a mental picture of what restoration and restoring is. Before you can restore, you have to tear down. What you're going to restore, you have to tear down. And it's an ugly mess. But when God does it in our heart, there is a beauty that makes us love that destruction. Because what he is going to build and restore is going to be so much better than what you've had, and so much better than what you think you have, that you are going to be amazed. But first, we have to love the destruction. So as God peels things from your heart, you need to love him for that. And as it hurts, you need to thank him for the pain, because something better is coming. Sunday is coming, and there will be fruit if we love the destruction and the demonstration, or the demolition first.
Amen. Thanks. All right. Well, you can go ahead and stand up. I want to just ask you to store these things up in your heart, right? That's a phrase we know from this time of the year. But store these things up in your heart that have been shared, and let's watch as God begins to unfold them this year in our church. Tonight, we're going to close with worship, but we want this to be a time of ministry. So if you want to come up front and pray over, if any of these words just kind of hit your heart and you'd like to pray over them up here, I'd like to invite you to do that. Also, if there are people here that aren't in your home group, and you had thoughts and encouragements through the fast, and you see them here tonight and you're like, I never share it with them, I want to encourage you. You can move around and encourage people and bless them. Amen. All right, let's worship.